that one right, and this is Wade's visit with Rick this Saturday afternoon, the 3rd of February, 73. This is Channel 1 Right, and the visit with Wade, with Rick, this Saturday, the 3rd of February, 73. Channel 1 Right, beginning a visit with Wade, with Rick, this Saturday afternoon, the 3rd of February, 73. Channel 1 Right, beginning a visit with Wade, this Saturday afternoon, 3rd of February, 73.
Well, I don't know her name, but one of the young ones way back up there. Cool. That's about the prettiest one of them all.
Is that number 7?
No, 6. We just hadn't brought that.
No, sir. 2 heifers and 4 bulls.
Oh.
That looks like one of Cookie's belts.
Well, for that size.
For sale.
Cookie almost sold some big ones. Metal ones, big square ones, you know, with the horseshoe on them.
Yeah.
Did you make them?
No, we were down at a horse auction in Ocala. Have a tack truck that comes up, you know, big. Mm-hmm. Big.
I never saw one.
You open it up, and it's got all the shells in there for the curry brushes and the reins and lunge line. And then he's got saddles stacked on the other side. And of course, he's got the bridles and everything hanging up on that. And in the back, all the blankets. Mm-hmm. And he reached over and pulled out a piece of cardboard and it had all those buckles on it. And he says, "You could sell some of these, maybe?" So he said, "Well, I'm working at the university. I might be able to." Yeah, I've been working out there. Not in a while. Well, I'll give you some. Well, let me check my market first. You sell for $250, double your money, and you can sell for 3 and 4 with no trouble.
How about that? Well, that's what we see. I got a little old desk lamp, gooseneck lamp like this the other day. I used to buy them at Hughes Supply for $2, and I paid $4.95 at
Chestnut.
They charge that anyway.
Mm-hmm. You're surprised you can get a good deal if you can put up with waiting 45 minutes. They are terrible now.
Oh, they are worse enough, aren't they?
Oh, they changed to the back now. And I sent Bill Sharp in there with a list of things to get. He's going to get 3 things to hook up the dryer with. I'm going to get 220 wire.
Yeah.
Number 10 wire. Well, number 12 was supposed to be wound up. I thought 12, but it's supposed to be 10. And a 30 amp or a 220 breaker and a box or plug, receptacle. Well, they came back, they sent 1 strand of wire. I talked to the man over the phone, too. I said, "I'm hooking up a dryer, 220 dryer, and what do you think I should get?" And he told me, he said it'd be about 24 cents a foot for the wire and stuff like that. Well, they charged 6 cents a foot for it because it's only a single strand. It was like outside wire that you bring in power with, what it mounted to. It sent 1 strand of 24 feet back. Mm. It sent a 20 amp or wrong breaker. Something wrong with each one of the things. I went back, it took 45 minutes to change it.
You're lucky.
And just to swap. And then I wound up with the wrong bloody breaker. It didn't fit my box at all, so I had to jury rig it with 2 110s today. I got it working though. I put it together with 2 110s and made a 220 out of it.
I don't know how they could get so off base in there. They used to do better than that.
I think so. They really, something's gone wrong back there. It takes them at least 10 minutes to get any one item.
There must have a dozen people working that counter.
Yeah, I came by. When Bill and I went out on the road to take some pictures for a grant he's applying for, and went by his parents' house in Dunedin, and went out in the garage, and there's this dryer sitting out there. So he called up his mother. She was at work. I said, "What you gonna do with this dryer?" She had a brand new one inside. She says, "Well, it was bumping a little bit, and so I bought a new one. I was gonna give it to the Goodwill." We loaded the bloody thing in the back of the car.
You at Goodwill.
And it's one of the finest dryers I've ever seen. Doesn't even make a sound. It's word long.
You know, a man ought to be able to make a living at things like that.
That's the reason I'm after a van. There's too many things you miss out on.
Yes.
I said, well, I can't take it with me.
You can't take it with me. I haven't got anything to haul in.
You just stuff that boy full.
Let's hear about Mike.
He hadn't contacted me this week. He must have gotten off busy again. I found out you have to stay on top of everything you're doing.
Yeah.
I'll ring him up and get him down this weekend sometime. And I think he's going, at least he's got the procedure.
Yeah.
The formality, information, who to go through. For instance, this Ford Foundation grant, after the initial writing up the grant, you have to get your department head's approval. And they have certain forms and certain things that you call yourself. And like, Debbie and Rick would be research assistants or whoever you had under it, and name them out, who does what, and then he knows the channels through which and how to send it to Ford and the particular segment or section of Ford Foundation that you send it to, you know, the different groups of the thing. And he said that's one of the best grants. Most of them, the university gets about 43% of the grant, and in Ford they don't get anything. So if you want $50,000, you have to apply for 93 or something like that. Or a huge rake off. One of the things you've got, what do they call it, the release time. In other words, part of the grant is you pay the university for your time. Whatever your salary is, it comes out of the grant and goes back to the university. Or the university doesn't pay you, and you take the salary, one of the two type things. But some procedure goes on there. And it said that $300 a month was a grant for you, and if you had an associate in it, it's tax deductible, it's tax free. He knows all these little things. It's $300 per month, tax free. Right? You know, so you're in a 30% bracket or something like that, saves you a good bit of money, $90 a month or something. And one of the, if you want to get started on it, we need to start getting some idea of expenses on the thing. I think if you just start dividing it up and calculating out what kind of monies you need, and and you always add 10% when you get through with the whole thing, and along in the middle somewhere, you add 25%. One of the formal, this very formal presentation. You add up everything you need, and then it's, a lot of times they use 8%. And say 8% variance or overage, plug that in, add that to the end of it. And they're very pleased with this, rather than just including the whole thing, forgetting it. They'd like to see the 8% tacked on at the end. I think if we get into the cinema thing, it may be, if somebody like me into it, it may be better for me to contract out. In other words, you're hiring a firm to do this. I'll have to look into that. It might be better tax advantage and everything else on it. I don't know. I have no idea how to work the thing, or how much, don't have any idea how much you're going to do to start with, or what. I was thinking to myself about trying to work on it, getting somehow put together with some cinema work. So you have the two things, the recording and the cinema. Mm-hmm. And which
we ought to have that. We're just losing out.
Well, I think it can be done. I don't know to what extent or how much. That would require a lot of experiment and a lot of hard work. I feel like the visual part of it has got to be presented so that it doesn't begin to outweigh the audible part of the talk, but it's got to be good enough that the two things tie together and hold, so you've got a balanced thing you've got to pull on it. It's a matter of trying to get it in enough form that the public will sit still for it a little while. And I don't, it would always be very valuable if we had a pilot, but I'm afraid the expense of a pilot, if we did it anywhere right, would be pretty strong. Because doing the pilot would be a third of our work done there, experimenting and finding out what the hell's going on. Just doing the pilot. That would be getting... I don't know the directions to take on it. Or the alternatives to cinema. I think all this should be explored. And the only thing I'm considering right now is presenting the tape form. I don't know a thing about your writings or writings about or concurrent with the tape. That's my only knowledge is the tape. A lot of thoughts on that.
Well, every tape has to be, described as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, work it out, but I couldn't work it. You can't work it out.
I would think you set a limit of maybe if you've got 20 really outstanding things, or 10, 15, or 20, or something of this nature that you work on, maybe even 10 would be sufficient, I think.
Yeah.
If you got that many of them, the best things that you have, and get those tight enough with the tape itself, with the description of what's already said it, and then let the tape go, and then all this has to be hooked in with the cinema. And someone has to set it up, like you said, give it a verbal description of what's going on, some background.
I just write out on a piece of paper, see what's in the tape. Because I couldn't recapture it, I'd have to listen to it all over again. I wouldn't even know what was in it, see, unless I described it. And for 3 or 4 hour tape, that'd be right considerable. Mr. Jim and Suzanne had Mr. Weave over here one time. I'd forgotten about it, and it just lasted on. It's about a 4 hour tape. And it's one of the good ones, because he liked Jimmy, and he tolerated Suzanne. And they brought out things that, I never could have done.
I don't know how you would hold up with it, but the thing that occurred to me, something like an introductory film, which should be in talking with you, if at all possible, if we could get it done, in such a manner as we do it now. And that requires somebody to be, for you to respond to, or somebody talking with you, but mainly that you're doing the major part of the talking, not a matter of an interview or anything, but just the stage setting, and something just like you said right then, I don't know if that's the right thing, but some way of getting into opening up this whole subject matter, and it should be done as brief as possible.
Yeah.
I don't mean in 2 minutes, but I think 10 minutes of it would... something of this nature that you need to open it up. And then each one, it seems to me that these cinema productions should be kept down to a modest amount of time. Maybe some of them longer, but a lot of them in a short range period, like even a 15-minute period, if anything could be done in that. See, just, I don't know, we might not be able to do anything in that amount of time. But it's all, how do you sustain that in the public sense.
Yeah.
And also, none of these things are going to be I mean, all the cinema stuff has to be done related to the subject matter, but it's not going to be about it. Some of these people aren't here, they're dead, and the situation is not the same, and you're not photographing the person while they're doing the talking.
You know, using that stuff after you get it is, that's worse than getting it, isn't it?
It's a problem.
It is indeed.
It really is a problem. I think, right off the top, that I could work up one or two of them. I don't know how long and how sustained it could be in the visual image. But then how varied this could be, I don't know. It reminds me of these really flat people that narrate these nature series on TV that the kids write all the time. And to me, when I walk in there, and the kids listening to it, I mean, and you hear them, and they all sound alike to me. There's a nature thing going on, and the guy's got that same flat tonality he's talking about it in. It's unpackaged good, and this is the thing you've got to avoid. He's getting into that kind of a cliche, which would be difficult to do. You don't have that much room to work when you're talking about hours of taping. On the cinema aspect of it, I can get some, bring in some estimates on all this. Let's talk about 10, 30-minute films just as a round figure. Right there, I haven't even called anybody or asked them, but I'm sure that this would be just way up in the thousands of dollars if you're going to do it on a professional film basis. I mean, it's way up in the money. I know, I mean, if you should be shot on 16mm, and just buying the film to do it alone is an immense amount of money.
Oh, really?
It's a tremendous amount of money. So you'd shoot probably 4, 5, 6 hours film to get 30-minute film out of it. Mm-hmm. And just that production cost alone is phenomenal. So filming in itself would... It'd be a pretty strong cost. It'd be easy enough to nail down the cost on, like, your work and any of your assistants' work, just by lining out a salary and having office expenses and telephones and things of this nature, whatever, and some travel expenses of time to go into Gainesville or anything you want to add into it. It's not very difficult to come to some sort of a round figure on this. And the even after we get it put together, the likelihood we need monies to do something with it. This occurred to me. Some freedom to do something with it so you don't start digging in your pocket again to try to get them placed in the right situation, or just availability of some funds to do it. Now, how we gain the attention of these people without a pilot would be quite difficult. Perhaps we need something like a seed grant. Mike got $10,000 to get his bigger grant with, and he was only after $75,000, and got $10,000 to get $75,000 with. Mm. So,
what's his name?
Mike Conley.
Conley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the economics. And you?
I think just this year,
okay.
September.
Well, he came in running, didn't he?
Oh yes, he's not messing around at all. Well, he's in the right field. He's in international economics. So that's timely. Like things being ecology or architecture, the field to be in now, in school, maybe not out of school, that's where we're getting all the money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the fair-haired department, is architecture. Just found that out. It wasn't that way before, but
yeah.
That's because of all this sociology stuff that's happening, land planning, and city planning, urban planning, taking care of the people. I'm finding a lot of grants coming in, this kind of stuff. I just finished writing a program for the architecture department. Possibility I might sneak in half time next quarter, teaching a graduate seminar course. So if it works out, it'll be fun. If it doesn't, I haven't lost anything. They're right excited about it. But they're always reluctant to step out on a limb. They're scared.
Yeah.
They want it bad. They see the need for everything I talk about.
Yeah.
They want it, but then how to do it? They can't see it.
Yeah. Not venturesome.
No. Mm-mm. Politics. That'll be politics.
Yeah. Well, that's where they got where they are by being politics, not venturesome.
I got to squint somehow or other. Every now and then I just turn up with the squints for no reason at all.
Just hit you?
Oh, you know, just something.
I think one of the things possibly we could do if we could get any seed money, I don't know what the hell we could do for $10,000.
Pilot you couldn't do for $10,000? Or you mean to get the $10,000?
Well, $10,000 might.
If you're going to stay away from the university, it'll cost you a bit. But they got all kind of audiovisual stuff up in the university. I was thinking it'd be videotaped.
Kind of the war, at any rate, the American participation in that war have on the economy. We deal with the American participation after the fall and rise of Jimmy Hoffa. It's more effective.
And it's now 64 degrees in Gainesville. That's the latest in local and area weather brought to you by Harfred Auto Imports. Andrew.
I'm just going to turn this on. And get to you, frankly. But I just go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose the equipment could be barred. I assume it has 16 on the equipment.
They've got a TV station.
Well, I don't know about video.
And I know they've got the film equipment.
Yeah,
I've seen.
See, I was talking to this girl last night that videotape is evidently pretty limited. Or I think it's better to start with your 16mm and pull your tapes off of that or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose it would be. I had just talked to a fellow who said they had cameras that could photograph and light things that you couldn't see in the same light. TV camera.
TV?
Mm-hmm. Videotape. And that would use that kind of tape. It was just a sideline I was looking at.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what kind of transcription you'd get off of them. That being the case, it'd certainly be cheaper. One thing is the video, this kind of tape, when you go and do your cutting, well, you take the stuff you cut and reuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no development cost on it. I think the machinery cost is your problem on that. The proper machinery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with the technicalities of videotaping. I mean, the vision would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using a different machine, but
mm-hmm.
You'd have the same lenses. Same type of lens work, stuff of that nature.
Terrific.
I think most of the time in this, guy would be coming about and trying to, even after you get tapes and get your sentiment down. He's trying to put the bloody thing together right.
Yes.
This would be the labor.
Yes, that's kind of it. You know, one of the fellas I know pretty well up in Knoxville, he finally got into the television work there, and then he got into making little tapes of his own, mm-hmm. travels and all, and he edits them and puts them together and shows them on television, takes them off places and shows them, and he makes money out of them. And he just loves it. but he's got a lot of things to work with. And he's not interested so much in the content, the thought of it, you see. I don't care much about this other side of it. I'm not interested in it. See, I got talents in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the talk. But then you see you almost have to have something these days to carry it, something visible.
That's the only alternative I see. You can take 10,000 people, you don't get three of them sit down.
Oh, no, they won't.
And I think it's valuable enough to make an attempt to make it more presentable to the people.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a guy in town I just happened to briefly mention this to. He runs the Apollonian Alternative. Leather workshop, and make belts and all kinds of leather work, and his name's Tim, and he's a bluegrass player, a banjo player, and I just happened to start just mumbling about it a little bit, and he got so excited he didn't want me to leave, and I had to go somewhere, and because these guys have been trying to record some of the authentic music is quite different from any other music that you get ordinarily, like the high production type music, and it has a very different quality to it. It's a communicative type music that people sort of talk together with this music, and they interrelate quite a bit. It's really up in the hill people, backwoods people that play it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a possibility of if you something, a relationship or something of this nature in it. I'm not maybe even talking about it, but just playing it once in a while. I don't know. I'm just thinking of visual possibilities and whatever else goes on within this whole field, how to present it.
Mm-hmm.
Without making it, it's got to be simple to carry, but it can't be boring. Camera work is coming out today. They're really doing some terrific stuff in cinema,
yeah.
In the movies. They're really getting slick. I saw one not too long ago that was made maybe 10 years ago, and it looked to be 40 years old. I mean, if you see 5 to 10 really fresh, good new movies in the top rate movies, and say 5 of them, and you go see one of the it was made 5 years ago, you're completely ruined. You just can't accept anything. It just looks crude.
Yeah.
It's amateurish. It's amazing. It really is. They've gotten this visual thing working, and they just run you through with this camera. It's beautiful. It's
yeah.
Really fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you beat your alarm clock that time.
Looks like you need some precision timing equipment right here.
Yeah.
I wish I tried to find a timer, but I couldn't find one.
Good Lord, I'm sure they have bunches of them.
Yeah.
Well, you could find, couldn't you?
Sure.
Find one? A photographer has to use a timer.
No, I think he's talking about the regular. Oh, well, we've got radios that do that to an extent.
10-minute timer or something?
Yeah, radio's doing.
No, in other words, you have a program that comes on at 5:30 and you set up your rig at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. shuts off.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. And I have, matter of fact, I have a timer. I don't, if we gave it a variation, you know, like a 5-minute variation, it'd work. And it, I've forgotten how many times it'll turn on and off. But it, maybe it's only twice an hour, which is crude. I mean, twice a 24-hour period, it turns on and off. That's, it's really a simple, crude thing. They've got a lot more mechanisms than that. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. But it's a, equipment is really fantastic. These, the university architecture department, some guys up in Harvard or somewhere started this company while they were in school and conned all these other architecture departments into buying this piece of equipment for $1,500, a special piece of equipment. It was supposed to take time and motion studies, and set up the camera at a certain place, and it'd go click, every so often click, click, like this kind of thing. And they say it was a really complicated thing, it started breaking down, and nobody really knew how to use it, and so they tried to contact these guys, and both of them graduated, and taken all their profits and hauled. And I said, what the hell did you buy that for? All in the world you need is a regular Nikon camera that everybody's mother has over on campus with a motor drive on it and a timer. And you can use any one part of it for different things. You don't have to have one piece of equipment. Nikon makes a camera and it's got a motor thing underneath that cocks it and fires it. All you need is things is just hook three things together and you can take it apart and use any one piece elsewhere. All kinds of, you know, these special, I mean, people not knowing what they're doing, these big guys mopped up. They sold all architecture departments all over the country. And the damn thing didn't even work.
It's down, whatever it was.
Sounds like my house with the cat.
There's nothing you can do about it now, is there?
Cats are always doing that over my house. Dirt and something knocking out.
We had cats, I don't know what to
do. Bad enough as it is. Yeah.
Bad enough with people.
Yeah, what if we get a little survey going, guy, and see, let's see if I can come up with a price on my part on doing a pilot study, some description, even if it's a 4 or 5 minute thing. And maybe we could just have a written explanation from you without bothering trying to get into the intricacies of taping it or doing it with cinema or anything. A couple of written pages of explanation, and then they could see a 5-minute visual presentation. Or however many it takes, however many minutes it takes to do it. I would like not to do it, because I know how much energy would have to go into the pilot thing. This thing I did for Bill,
yeah.
I wound up filing up every technical thing I could file up on it. It made me so mad. I was really embarrassed to send it off. He thought they were good, but they weren't. And it was what we were after, just I happened to file it up technically. And I didn't have the time and money to go do it again. But it's one of those things. It always sort of shakes you up when you do that.
let me see. I've got to get about 50 pages in print before I get back to that grant. And I thought I could touch it up and use some of the connections I've got already and just get it to working. And then I'd be to follow any of your leads that you have. Now, you see, what ought to happen is a person ought to be able just to go ahead and knock it off. Well, I find that nothing works out like that out here. I don't know what I'm doing. I got to, you see, I can't use tape. I have to use transcriptions. But just literal transcriptions aren't any good. They don't show anything. You take it out of a normal voice and put it into normal language, and it's nothing there. And so that's what we've been wrestling with. Now, we've just been doing it this month, just since the New Year, just since 1st of January.
That's right.
Been on about a month. Yeah.
Working with them.
Been working with them. And I think we've just about got it in shape where we can use it and try it out, you know, on 50 or 100 pages. Once you get the formula, you know, mm-hmm. once you see what you're doing, you don't waste so much time. It's not so much postponing on it, you see.
Well, that's what I meant about this pilot study. You know, that you have to make a pilot study to get the money to do what you want to, and doing the pilot study is a third or half of your work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if it's the right thing, you can do the rest of them pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is to get it figured out.
And on the visual things, you see, I don't have willing subjects. Work it, but really have to work it.
Well, my initial thinking on that, Guy, is that we wouldn't photograph anybody talking right off. If that happens, we can do it, that's fine. And we wouldn't necessarily photograph the people that were involved, the people that are talking.
Yeah.
But it would be related visual material, maybe photographs of the people doing something else, or the area or home life, or anything, and it has to be done in such a manner that's not cliche, because people get tired of this. They've seen a lot of it.
That's it.
And it's got to be sustaining enough. I think I could handle a pretty good interview with you, off the cuff, and you wouldn't be in it that much. Just once. Say a 15-minute interview, if we could get a sustained talk for 15 minutes, and maybe you'd be on camera for 2 or 3 minutes out of the whole 15.
Yeah.
It's tough to do that and hold it together. But my thinking of what you've got here, and you're tired of taping. And if we tie taping in with cinema work, whew, that's going to get awful complicated. Because people might not, they'll be scared of the camera.
Yeah.
It would take a very special setup to be able to photograph them.
Yeah.
And then they're at, even after they get used to it, might not be worth a damn that day anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
So you've blown a lot of work. Or that several days. It just seems more expedient to me to work with what you have and conceive of the visual things just related to it.
Yes, sir. Scenes from that.
Hills and Harris.
Yeah.
He's still around.
If you want a good counterpart of your talk, we need some good straightforward taping of Hilton Heron in photographs. You want the opposite end of the field. He's about the least communicative person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He's aboriginal. He just that's about all you can get out of it.
I guess that's all you ever got out of it.
Just a
yeah.
You roll his eyes a little bit and look strained and give a grunt and he gives up.
And now you see you've got him to the point. It's like Mr. Morganson. You see, he's slowing up to the point. point where you have no agility at all.
It looks futile to him.
Mr. Morganson used to be pretty agile. I've heard some remarkable talk from him.
Mm-hmm.
He could shift. But you see, just a few years would alter the situation. Yes, in that first Wallace campaign, he was a spokesman. That's where he made his reputation, I think. Yes, he confronted Vista and anybody else along the way.
Yeah. Russell Woodard's pretty much the voice over there now, isn't he?
He doesn't even show up much.
Oh, really?
That's too bad.
I heard he'd given up his job for lay preaching.
Maybe that's why he's not around. Well, I'm sorry he did that.
Or else giving up lay preaching for his job was one of the two. He was getting more pressure. I had interest.
Unless he gets a tent, there's not too much money in lay preaching. With a tent, you can do all right. And move around.
I think it'd be better just to hire out and deliver groceries or deliver bread. Run a bread truck.
Talking about hiring out, friend, you know Ferguson at all up on the hill? You ever talk to him? Down here on the hill.
I had seen the old man, you see. I don't know anybody else.
Well, Beverly was going to rent that house that the wife lived, in or something.
Yeah.
Died recently.
Did she die?
Yes. She died 2 or 3 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. And everything seemed sort of settled. But then the old man, or I reckon it's her son or something, when he got old, he got the notion that he wanted somebody. He sort of crippled up or something, I think. I had the idea. Wanted somebody to help him around the place, is what he said. So he wants to get, instead of renting to Beverly, he's going to get a couple of men to live in there and use it for like a bunkhouse and get them to help him on the place.
Luck to him.
That's what when I heard that, I said, fine, good luck. You'd be a lot better collecting $100 a month and paying somebody $10 an hour. You're going to get a lot more work done.
That's right. But you can, if they don't know it, you can't tell them.
He's got to be living 30 years ago.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I just could see that right off. That's not even in existence any longer.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know that, heard enough stories back in the old days, it's hard enough. I mean, if you do that, you would get something done. And now your chances are zero. Yeah, that's the very same when Beverly told me that. I said, good luck to him. <It's> like, it'll never work.
You've almost, if you got children, you've almost got to be close enough to other people, you see, where you've got a little somebody to call on. And you just can't live way off from somebody. And that's way off from everybody, isn't it?
Retired army couples up there. They've got one kid that's, most of them are pretty grown now. There's girls, a bunch of girls up there. One of them's still about 10, I think, something like that.
Living up there?
Yeah.
Living where? In another house or something?
Yeah, it's one of those houses up there. 3 or 4 houses up there on that hill.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All I can remember is Debbie, what's the last name of that girl? Real cute little girl, probably about 18 now. Freckle face, Debbie. Something son. They moved there.
You're not talking about the road where Mr. Gilbert's and Mr. Patterson live. That front road?
No, in other words,
you're talking about the back road.
When you go down the county line road, you know, where county line 441 meets, yeah. That sort of hill that goes up and only a quarter of a mile from where you turn off here, your place.
Yeah.
It's from that dirt road, when you pass the Richardson's pasture, and you go up on that little hill, and there's a little settlement up there.
Yeah, but Ferguson lives off of that road.
I've never even seen his house. Beverly has.
He lives off that road, you see. Before you get to any of those houses, you just turn off to the right, and I don't know how long far it is out there, a quarter of a mile or 200-300 yards, or what it is.
Yeah, I was hoping.
But I thought that was the only house out there.
There are two. They have two houses. A little block house that Beverly was talking about renting, which is about 150 yards from another house.
Oh, I see.
And which one belongs to who? They don't live in the blockhouse, and what the other one looks like, I don't know, because I hadn't seen either one of them.
Yeah.
And it's right close to Norman's property.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to his property.
Yes. Well, you see, I never been back there.
Good. He really, for getting a piece of property, he just didn't really got a fine.
He got into it,
didn't
he?
Six acres, right on the nub of that hill.
Yeah.
Got access to it.
Yeah.
And that's all the property that fellow ever needs.
Just right up there.
And he got it. He could sell it right now for twice as much he paid for it.
Oh yeah. And what he ought to do is put this this hedge row, this hedge thing here. That, that makes trees.
Ligustrum?
Huh?
This ligustrum back here.
Yeah. He ought to put that up all around his place. Just to get privacy. And if you don't want it, you can cut it down and just let it keep it growing. Plant it thick and then cut it out. And that stuff grows to be a tree.
Yeah, I've seen
and
it.
It's thick,
yeah.
Clear up and down. And see, that's what I actually wanted around here on these bound areas. And I put the wrong damn
that's
thing.
That's right. They would have been, when we planted that stuff, it helped you a couple of days on it, down at this end anyhow.
That's right.
And those damn things would have been 10 feet tall by now.
Yeah, and thick, and you couldn't walk through them. And why I...
That's right. I never thought about that either. That would have been the thing. I saw some of these down in South Florida that were trees. I was really amazed.
Oh, you see them all around. You don't recognize them.
Mm-hmm. I want to get bigger.
Yes, sir. Oh, that stuff. Well, even old privets would be better than what I did. It grows up, no time at all. You can just plant a switch out there, or an old stump of it out there. First thing you know, it's head high, thick. And what did I have to do? Put this old pine out there, and when it grows up, you see, you got no cover down here. It's all up there. And the cedars are fine once you get started, but I put it in that old bear grass, and it held it back so long. And they're not solid, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And you want it solid. Oh, man. I tell you, if I did things over again, I sure could have done different.
Well, we've got something there.
Well.
Can I handle that?
Yeah.
That looks like work.
Oh, Lord, you really brought them, didn't you?
This is nothing.
Now, hello, Faye.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
I'll get them, Debbie.
You can get boxes for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can get boxes for
that's
them.
Unusual. You get a box.
You can rip it out of the box.
You want to start on that, consider that filing thing? I'll help you.
Thank you. I can't do anything until I get this up.
You can get your paper done.
That's my trouble. And that's your trouble with all this dance work. There's so much postponing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth it. It's simply not worth it, all that damn postponing. And why I ever got into that, I don't know.
Is this a committed paper you're doing?
It's a book. It's part of a book. But I don't know how to put it all out so that one time.
How are you, Faye?
I
got a soak in here. That's going to make
it a little damp today.
That's really good tea. That's a 2 or 3. Real good tea. We got that from the university, through the university.
$3.50. Wayne said be sure to come by soon. $3.
I don't know a thing about tape quality.
Well,
you got any good words to lay on me about cassette tape?
Yes,
do it.
All I know is what
do my laundry.
Wayne Daniels told me at the university. He's one to talk to. Because he's in touch with 3M and all the people that sell TV equipment. Because he's in charge of the, they call them teachers and resources.
Well, I do.
The TV and tire equipment.
You buy that through, where's the university?
The university has got a contract with 3M. They buy direct.
Buy direct.
So they get it cheap. No sales tax. So we just bought it from the university.
Mm-hmm.
We got their price. So, yeah. Mm. Awful lot
of
I hours. Haven't heard of anybody.
Oh boy.
Awful lot of hours you just walked in with there.
There must be
60 tape. 64 size, and that's 1,800 foot at that.
Oh, good Lord. Is that 4 or 8 hours of tape?
What's an hour and a half? So it'd be, I think, six. About 6 hours of tape.
And how many did you bring in?
60? 60.
Well, that ought to keep somebody busy for a couple of hours.
But you know, we found out that the 141, that's the target series, is the cheapest to make, it's acid tape. It gets brittle, cracks, and breaks, and mildews, and everything. That's why I can do that. We got to copy someone that's better, polyester back.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we got better range of sound, but I won't tell you exactly. I'd haven't heard it.
You
need cassette. I don't know of any that are particularly good.
Have you done anything in here, you know, like in photography, when you go in, like you do your cinema work and have it developed,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing you do is have what you call a working tape made.
Yeah.
I mean, working print, they call it.
Oh, yeah.
And then from the working print, you do all of your master work on it.
Yeah.
Put the working print, and whether or not they go back to the master tape and cut it, according to the first one or not, I don't know. But they never work off the master one.
Yeah, that's what we want to do is copy these, because some of them are mildew. And I don't think there's anything you can do once in mildew. And Dan was telling me
that affected.
Because what'll happen is, you know how you like shower curtains pretty tough until you start a tear, and then it just goes like crazy. So
uh-huh.
The tape is the same way, and mildew eats the edge.
Uh-huh. Which edge, recording or the backing?
The acetate, the backing.
The backing.
And once that starts, it'll pop in half, like when you're rewinding or something.
They should be stored in air conditioning.
But you
guy sleeping in that room, too, or do you mind it air conditioned? That'd kill him, wouldn't it?
Ah, that would be.
Just the idea of an air conditioner in the house.
But
it needs to be in a place that is
a
little
block
place. I was thinking, you know, I don't know what it costs. It probably costs a fortune, but you know, a huge supply is
yeah.
Somewhere along that road to South Main. There's a place that sells aluminum houses.
Yeah, those are junk.
The junk?
Yeah,
I was wondering.
Well, if you get that, you got to insulate the bloody thing. It looks ugly.
Yeah.
And that's. Oh, hell, you know what? That room never really gets hot, does it, Faye?
I was just thinking of fire hazard.
Well, why not?
It's just the moisture.
Maybe just get a dehumidifier, then. That would satisfy everybody. Keep the doors closed, keep the dehumidifier going.
Yeah, that would do it.
As long as it, heat will affect them now.
Yeah.
Heat affects a lot of things. You know, if it jumps up 100 and over 100 degrees or something like that. If it doesn't get over 90, I don't know.
It just has to have a place to store it.
Yeah.
It'd be
nice if we could get a place in the new library building, but 16 miles away.
Sam Proctor works up there, and he uses cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about him. I haven't heard anyone recommend.
I just got finally. I've got a cassette for my car, and it's broken down, and everything I've gotten fixed.
Eight track?
No, cassette.
Oh.
And I've got a little cassette deck, but I never have gotten to. I just wanted to record records and play in the car. It's the cheapest way to do it.
Yeah.
It's also a tape recorder. I mean, I've got a voice tape in the car. If I ever get back on the ball, my problem was I quit making tapes because I never transcribed the damn thing. I put something on tape, I never get it off. So I said,
yeah.
Well, I just won't do that. If I could get myself a machine that I could work with easier, I think, than transcribing, I might be able to do it. But it's getting so I can do rough typing at a pretty rapid rate.
You know, they've got, of course, it's an expensive setup, but IBM makes it, and it's not a tape, it's one of those belts, plastic belts, unless you use them as a foam blade.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a foot pedal, and the thing looks like a stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit there, typewriter, and you just turn on and off.
Well, you can get that for your cassette, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's no problem. Yeah, I mean, just it works. They've got them for everything. Tape decks.
The split switches are really
great. Yeah, you've got backup, forward, fast forward, and all that kind of stuff. And then just working on that.
Right, working.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
about
all been done.
No, it rained pretty much.
Yeah, but it didn't count. I didn't get
any
groceries.
I'll be in there tonight. In fact, I'm gonna make dinner there. I'm gonna have to get going.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one calf hadn't been brought up. It's just six so far. It's a young one. She's got him way in the back.
And there's another one?
No, she just hadn't brought him up yet.
Oh.
Okay. Prettiest one of all. It's short.
Yeah,
that's a little toe head. That's what I'm riding this morning. Yeah.
So.
We had Rowdy got out this morning. I don't know how
he got out yet. You did real well on that fence.
Patched up the fence, of course. There's just not too many places long enough he could get out.
About 150?
Yeah, 200. Anywhere between his posts. He looked kind of sad when I popped the wire up way high for him.
Yep.
Does the town council still function?
Yes. We're contemplating doing away with the town.
You don't want to do these?
I don't think we have to have
this.
Okay.
Yeah, that started in the new, I knew they had the, you know, and on and on.
I said, well, let's put them in. Thank you.
important to do.
Finding something to do. He's supposed to be in the past. I give him something to do. Because they didn't know how to do it. And funny too. Now, I thought maybe he'd be God like a hammer.
Put those out.
I'll put them outside,
put a little
and
bit
then,
of water in.
Yeah,
it.
And then first thing in the morning, we'll fix them.
Okay.
It just, you know, it would be 7 o'clock before we'd get them fixed and we better put those.